I have what it says I have.
I can do what it says I can do.
I declare this evening.
My mind is alert.
You probably ought to say that one again. My mind is alert.
My heart is receptive.
I'll be taught the word of God.
And I'll never be the same again.
All right, open up to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. That's, if you're kind of new to the Bible, then the thing I would tell you that it is in the New Testament, Hebrews is. It's right before a book called James. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. I'm really honored that you guys let me come here and just share with you. I've been looking forward to this, and it really is a treat for me. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1, it says this: Every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He represents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins. And he's able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. Now, you understand that when the Bible was written, it wasn't written in chapters and verses. That was done later on for reference sake. And so Hebrews 4 and 5, they were one continuous letter. And so I wanted to do this for just a minute. We started there, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1 through 3. But I want to look at Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Because the statement is made, and then after the statement is made, then the author continues on with that statement to talk about why Jesus was the high priest. And so in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says this: So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firm to what we believe. The high priest, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. So talking about Jesus, that he understands our weaknesses. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. And so says that about Jesus, and then continuing on with that thought, then it says, every high priest is a man chosen to represent other people in their dealings with God. He represents their gifts. I'm sorry, he presents their gifts to God and offers sacrifices for their sins. And he's able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. That is why he must offer sacrifices for his own sins as well as theirs. So in chapter 4 as it ends, and I know you guys talked about that last week, so this part of this is a review, I'm sure, talking about Jesus, that he is our high priest now, and that he is, because of the things that he went through, because he experienced temptation and different struggles just like we do, that he's able to understand the challenges that we go through. And then in comparison to the Old Testament, it talks about the responsibilities of the Old Testament priest, and it says this. If you're taking notes, the notes are this, that the high priest was chosen to represent the people in their dealings with God. So the responsibility of the high priest, the reason why that office was there in the first place, was to represent the dealings of the people with God. Now, here's a thought. One of the things that distinguishes a high priest from a prophet is that a prophet would represent God to the people, but the high priest represents the people to God. And so to see that right there, that in comparison, was talking about in the Old Testament, these were the things that would happen. This was one of the reasons why that was put there, is so that he could represent the people in their dealings. Then A, it was his responsibility to offer the sacrifices for the people's sins. So his responsibility was that. The Old Testament priest was that. And we'll talk about what Jesus did in regards to that. Now, I think it's interesting in the Old Testament, as many of you know, that there was a place called the Holy of Holies. There was a veil that separated it from everything else. The high priest went in there once a year. And he wore clothing that was unique to that day and that moment. He would take off his normal priestly garb, take all that off, and he would put on this garment, this clothing that was just there for that day specifically. And so at the bottom of it, he had pomegranates and bells that went all the way around. Now, one thing that in some of the studies I've done, some of the ancient writings from some of the rabbis said that there was a season whenever they would actually tie a rope around the high priest's waist, because when you go in the Holy of Holy, the presence of God is there. And if you go in unprepared or with undealt with sin in your life and it comes in contact with God's presence, then the possibility was the priest would die. Well, if the priest dies, who's going to want in and grab him? You know,
I mean, it's like, you know, you've really been wanting to be high priest, Bob. Why don't you go in there and get him? I mean, I don't think anybody would really want to do that, you know. So it was said that they would use that to pull him out. And before the priest would go in, that he would have a bull that he would offer as a sacrifice for his own sins. And then they had two goats that would be offered for the people. One would be sacrificed and the other would have the sins of the people pronounced upon it. And then it would be driven out into the wilderness away from the people. And then there were also two rams that were given as well. And so it was his responsibility to offer the sacrifices for the people's sins, and then for his own sins, and then see as this, to deal mercifully with the flaws of the people. So we saw that in the verses we read, verses 1 through 3. It says, and he's able to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people, because he is subject to the same weaknesses. So the high priest in the Old Testament, who was a model of what Jesus, who is our high priest, was going to be, was that he was able to deal gently with people that were dealing with stuff in their life. I mean, it would be good sometimes, you know, I know in my own life there have probably been times that I probably have not dealt gently with people that I needed to. But the high priest was supposed to deal gently with ignorant and wayward people because he himself is subject to the same weaknesses. And so, and I know you guys talked about this last week. We'll talk about it again here in a few minutes, that Jesus was tempted just like we were. So he was called to deal mercifully with the flaws of the people. Now, let's continue reading in verse 4. It says, and no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. In other words, you weren't self-appointed. It wasn't a vote. It says that he must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. This is why Christ did not honor himself by assuming he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, you are my son, today I become your father. And in another passage, God said to him, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So, first of all, we see that Jesus, that when he came to the earth, that he laid aside all of the things that come, all the privilege that comes with being God. He laid that aside, and had to honor the Father, service Father, and that type of thing. And it says that he was chosen to become a high priest, just like by God, just like the Old Testament priest was. So, if you're taking notes, and the notes is this, is that the picture is made clear. I'm sorry. Let's go back. The responsibilities and calling of the Old Testament priest was a picture of God's plan for the new covenant. So the high priest was called and chosen by God, but the responsibility and calling of the Old Testament priest was a picture of God's plan for the new covenant. So these things that were going on in the Old Testament, as you know, they were a picture of what God was preparing. He was preparing the people so that he would know, okay, this is a picture of what's getting ready to take place. Except in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, that the high priest would have to offer up sins for himself every year as well because he had sinned. And so this picture taking place was to prepare their hearts for what God was going to do in this new covenant. So we see that no one can become a high priest simply because he wants such an honor. He must be called by God for this work, just as Aaron was. That's why Christ did not honor himself by assuming that he could become high priest. No, he was chosen by God, who said to him, you are my son, today I become your father. And in another passage, God said to him, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. That the responsibility and calling of the Old Testament priest was a picture of God's plan for the new covenant. Now the picture is made clear that our high priest is Jesus forever. So, back then, that high priest would serve out his term, I believe, until he passed away, and then however they would determine that. But they would have, different, as time would go on, different person would be a high priest. You could only have one at a time. Well, now we have a continuing high priest, which is Jesus. In the new covenant, he is our high priest. He offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins, which gives us access to the Father. So now the picture is made clear that our high priest is Jesus forever. Now, let's continue reading. I'm going to get to a point here in just a minute. Bear with me. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 10 says, while Jesus was here on earth, he offered prayers and pleadings with a loud cry and tears to the one who could rescue him from death.
And God heard his prayers because of his deep reverence for God. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Listen to that. Even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. And God designated him to be a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So while Jesus was on the earth, he prayed, he pled, he said with loud cries and tears, and to the one that could rescue him from death. In other words, he was set an example of how we should live our lives, of how we should conduct ourselves. Now, let me ask you this question right here. How many of you have ever went through like really difficult, challenging times? I'm going to raise my hand and say, first of all, that I have. Maybe some of you are going through a difficult, challenging time right now. Well, the example that Jesus gave us is that he prayed and he pled with loud cries and tears, and he prayed to the one that could rescue him from death. So he set this example, but it was also showing us that just like you and I go through struggles, that Jesus, as God in the flesh, went through struggles as well. And this was his response. In other words, he didn't just show up and say, well, you know, hey, I'm God, and so I don't have to deal with this stuff. I'm kind of tired of dealing with you. You're really bothering me, and I'm really tired of dealing with you. You're kind of getting on my nerves, too. No, he endured those things just like you and I have to. Are there any people in your life that you're having to endure right now? Don't look at the person next to you. Don't do that in church, okay? I mean, it's like, I think he's talking about you. I mean, you don't want to do that, okay? And so here's the thing is that, you know, Jesus went through that. He had people around him they had their own agenda. They had their own way of doing things. They would get their feelings hurt. He's having to constantly correct them and all that kind of stuff. Well, his response to it was that he would pray. He would seek the Father, and he would have to endure stuff. And as a matter of fact, he learned how to obey by suffering. And we think about suffering a lot of times. We think about things that are being done to us, that somebody's just being mean to us or whatever. But man, sometimes suffering means I don't get my way. I remember I was working at a ministry, and I wanted to, I had this kind of this desire in my heart to be a youth minister. And it was kind of stirring around on the inside of me. And all of a sudden, it kind of became this passion. And, you know, it was one of those things that it was just so strong in me that I remember I started seeking God about it. And I worked at a ministry at that time, and they had a little room that we could go pray in. So I started taking some of my lunch hour, and I went over there and I prayed. And there was a scripture that really just kind of spoke to me at that time. It was Jeremiah 33:3. And it says, call unto me, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. So I remember going over there and just thinking, you know, Lord, I really believe that this desire that I have in my heart, that you've placed it, and I think it's what you want me to do. But first of all, I don't see how I'm going to get there. I have no idea. I mean, if this is the what, the how and the when, I have no idea how that's going to happen. And so if this isn't the what, I need you to change the what. And, I mean, you need to let me know what the what is. Because as long as I feel this way, if I'm not doing it, I'm not doing these guys service because my body's here, but my heart is there. So I began to pray and began to seek God. It just became stronger in me that I believe he was calling me to student ministry of some sort. And as time went on, then I began to think, okay, because it just began to be stronger, that surely today is going to be the day that that opportunity will open up. And today would come and go, and it wouldn't open up. And then the next day, well, surely this is going to happen. And then I would be aware of opportunities in other churches and other ministries opening up, and I thought, they know me. They know I work with teenagers, and so surely they'll hire me. And for whatever reason, they ignorantly overlooked me. And so, that would go on, and I would get frustrated with people that they didn't even know I was frustrated with because I was thinking that that was my opportunity. Well, what was happening is that the Lord had a timing for it because there were things that he was trying to do in me before he could let me go out there and use me in a certain way. Well, if it had been up to me, at that time, man, I mean, I would have went the day that I had that sense, that kind of awareness that this is what I think God's plan for me is. But it wasn't like a day, it wasn't a week, it wasn't a month. It was a couple of years before that opportunity opened up. Because he prepares us for stuff. He gets us ready for things. And then I remember finally I got a job an opportunity to minister to students. The second church I was at was in Clovis, New Mexico. And I just, we got to where we were reaching 20 or 30 kids. And I remember thinking, man, I would love for us to reach 60. I'd love for us to have 60 students here and tell them about Jesus and just let him just impact their world. And and change it. And so we began to kind of talk about it. And we said, well, let's do kind of a special night. And so this may sound really lame to you now, but back then it was so cool. and that was, we were going to have pizza and movie night. I mean, you're probably like, what a creative idea. And so we had pizza and movie night. And we had people make homemade pizza. And we were so excited. We had some movie on VHS tape. And our goal was we wanted to have 60 students there, and this movie was going to convey a message about their need for Jesus, and then we were going to share scripture with them, and I was so excited. And they come upstairs, and so me being the technical genius that I am, I really wasn't ready. I mean, and so we put the movie in, and I push the button to start playing, and nothing happens. And so I've got like 64 students, and this whole time I'm kind of like, I've got my back to them, and I keep pushing the button, and nothing's happening. Well, you know, if you turn your back on teenagers for very long, just nothing good happens as a result of that. And so, you know, they're kind of getting louder and more disruptive. And then I've got a guy over here, and he's trying to help me. But when I push a button, he pushes another button. And I'm like, one of us is probably pushing the right button, but the other one is probably, neutralizing whatever the right button is. So finally, I am so frustrated. I'm like, you just take care of this for a minute. So I go into a room by myself, and you're like, I know what you're thinking. You're like, you went in there and prayed, didn't you? No, actually, I went in and kicked the wall really hard because I was so frustrated. And finally, we got the movie running, and it was, the Lord rescued us from our own ignorance and that type of thing. But it was such a great lesson for me. I'm like, so this is why we weren't reaching 60 students, because I wasn't ready. And so many times when we think about suffering, it's not just persecution that comes at us, but sometimes it's timing. Sometimes it's not getting our way. Sometimes there's so many things like that that we just, that we just think that, this should be able to happen to me, or I should be able to get this. And what happens is that when we learn to endure in moments like that, we learn to obey. And it says this about Jesus. It says this, that even though Jesus was God's son, he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. Is there anything in your life right now you're going through a really hard time? And maybe you could share with us what it is, and everybody would go like, oh yeah, I get that. I know why that would be a hard time. But maybe for you it's not even one of those things. Maybe it's one of those things that it just kind of feels like this thing kind of going on that you're like, how come this isn't happening for me? How come I'm not experiencing this right now? Well, I just know that before we can ever experience what God has prepared for us, he has to prepare us for that. And so it says that Jesus learned to obey obedience from the things he suffered. In this way, God qualified him as a perfect high priest, and he became the source of eternal salvation for all those who obey him. So the picture is made clear that our high priest is Jesus forever. So forever, you and I have a high priest in heaven, Jesus, and he is the sacrifice. And so as a result of that, we have access. In prayer, we can pray to the Father in Jesus' name because of what Jesus has done for us. That's why we don't need another human being as a mediator for us. We already have a mediator. It's Jesus. Well, as they continue talking, he said this. He said, let's continue reading the scripture in verse 11. He says, there is much more we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain. Listen to this. Especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. I'm not sure. My wife may have written this. I don't know. And so it says, especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So, as he closes this chapter, he says, there is much more we'd like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. So if you're taking notes, this one I want you to see is that just like we grow and mature physically, we should grow and mature spiritually. And I skipped one. This is so important. Our willingness to listen and hear God's word is connected to our ability to understand. So if I'm going to really understand the Word of God, then I have to be willing to hear it and to listen to it. I don't know about you guys, about y'all in here, but this is one of the things And I'm not proud of this, but I can be looking at you and you can be talking to me and I cannot be hearing a thing that you're saying. And I've had to say to my staff, I've had to say to my kids, to my wife, you know, they get through this, they spend like 5 minutes talking and I'm counting the buttons on my shirt or something. And I'm like, what'd you just say? And they have this real pained look on their face because, you know, they're having to go through it again. And my unwillingness or my not intentionally listening to them or hearing them affects my ability to understand what they're saying. Well, the same thing's true with God. That if we don't approach His Word from a standpoint of, Lord, I'm not supposed to correct this, it's supposed to correct me. And then when we lean in to listen, then our ability to lean in and listening begins to affect our ability to understand it. You know, and you can even hear things, but if you're not leaning in intentionally to hear it, to listen, to let it speak to you, then it's hard to understand it. And so he's saying to them right here, he said, man, there's a lot of things about this I would like to tell you, but he said it's difficult to explain, especially since you're spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. And then he said, you've been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's Word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. So that's where we get the part. Just like we grow and mature physically, we should grow and mature spiritually. So you think about this. What happens to us more physically? When we're first born, I mean, we're just so dependent upon everybody. I have three grandchildren. And I know you're surprised, but because I don't look that old. But here's the thing is that we have three grandkids, and man, they're so much fun, and they're just so dependent, right? I remember when Kelly and Rhonda had Christina, and Rhonda was going to go to a bunco night, and she made the mistake of leaving Kelly and I alone with her daughter. And I don't remember what happened. I just know that Christina was hungry, and yeah. Has he? He probably hasn't told you the correct way, and so I'm pretty sure I was blamed, and he was probably scot free. But anyway, she was crying and was hungry, and we were kind of looking at each other like, I don't know what we're supposed to do, and so we went back, and I think we looked at her diaper, and I think he did something with that, and so we. And, I don't think she was running a fever. We both touched her head and it was like, no, my hand's fine. And so all these things happen. And so, I don't know, it ends up she was hungry, but we were such a mess of it that we had to call Rhonda and break her away from her bunco game. And, she had to get saved that night. So, I mean, she was just so mad when she got there, but all of that because you have this little baby that can't care for itself. You know, I mean, it's just, and you expect that. I mean, you know, if Rhonda would have called and she would have said, how are you guys doing? And we'd have been like, oh, man, we're fine. You know, Christina's made us a sandwich. She's just done a really good job. I mean, you would know that that's not true because you don't expect that from her physically. Well, same thing's true spiritually. And when people first give their lives to Jesus, they have this moment of repentance where they turn their lives, and they turn their hearts towards Him, and they engage with the things that He's called us to do and all of that. That I mean, there's just this awareness that it's all new to them and they're just learning. And so we serve, you know, that we want to serve them and care for them just like we would for someone that physically has just been brought into the world. That we understand. And I mean, and also, let's be honest, man, when you're, you know, when they're newborn and the things they do are kind of cute and all that kind of stuff, but the problem is as they grow physically, if they don't lose some of those things, kind of the cuteness goes away. I mean, you know, it's one thing to, you know, change their diaper and tease them about making poopies in the diaper. But I mean, when they, like if they're 20 and they're doing that, then it's not nearly as fun. And so that happens physically. But the truth of the matter is that he's comparing this to spiritual growth as well. And people can be the same way spiritually. And so, right here, he was pointing out that he was making a comparison to physical growth and spiritual growth. And then one of the ways that we grow is through a steady diet of God's Word. He said, instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You're like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who mature. Now, again, when you look at other scriptures, like we look at one of the epistles of Peter, he talks about, he compares the word of God to milk. And so to understand this, and then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That just like food is to us physically, that God's word is to us spiritually. And so all of us have this craving on the inside of, you know, of hunger for God's word. And if we're not careful, if we don't know, we'll try to fill it with so many other things. But one of the things that helps us to grow, the reason why it's so important to lean in and listen to God's word, is because we begin to understand it. And as we begin to understand it, it begins to grow us and mature us. And so just like physically, you have to partake of nutrition and nourishment to grow, spiritually the same thing has to happen. And one of the ways we grow is through a steady diet of God's word. Then let her see, if you look at this, as we grow, we quit being takers and start using our gifts and become contributors to the work of God. Now, and I use that word taker, and that sounds kind of like a harsh word. Because like with our children, we don't view them as takers, right? I mean, I don't look at my kids. You know, I look at my grandkids. Our youngest one, her name is Ellie Ray. And she's like 6 months old. And I got to hang out with her yesterday, and I look at her and go, you're such a taker. You know, I mean, I wasn't sitting there thinking, you know, I'm having to feed you. When are you going to start carrying your load? I mean, I don't feel that way for her, right? I mean, because she's a baby, and I would be nuts if I did that. And so, but we care for her and we love her. But there's also, again, this expectation that as time goes on, that the privileges and the care that comes with being an infant, that you begin to lose those. And as time goes on, you begin to pick up responsibility. Well, the same thing should be true for us spiritually as Christians. It should be that way in churches. And in churches, I believe that there should be like this huge shallow end. You ever gone to the swimming pool and how a lot of people, they kind of just gather and congregate around the shallow end. And one of the reasons why they do is because some of them can't swim. Well, when we should have a number of people in our church that are just kind of, that we're introducing them to Christ. And so when they come in, this is all kind of new to them. And especially in the culture that we have now, you know, we had somebody that had given their life to the Lord a while back, and she was like, I don't really know who Adam and Eve are. I mean, and she didn't. Somebody else came up to this minister friend of mine and said, is there like a book that you guys read as Christians that kind of, he said, well, yeah, the Bible. I mean, so, you know, and so you have that, and there should be a lot of that. But our desire should be to encourage people that you don't want to stay in the shallow end for the rest of your life. That you want to begin to grow and to begin to move your way down. Well, leaning in and listening to the Word of God feeds us, provides us nutrition spiritually, and helps us to grow. Helps us to grow in the Word of God. And he said we start out with milk, but then he said because they can't eat solid food. But he said someone who lives on milk is still an infant, doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature. And so, as we grow, we quit being takers. We start contributing. We start being part of the body, part of the family. Start doing all those things because we're listening to God's word. We're letting it make a change and a difference in our life, that it begins to change us. And then, also, another thing that happens is that we begin to serve. And serving and using our gifts grows and develops us. So everybody in here has a gift. Everybody in here has something that they're called to do. Everybody in here has something that if we just put you someplace, it's what you do. You know, one of the things that that really became clear to me is that for the longest time, there were things that I'm just not, there's a lot of things I'm just not very good at. And what I would try to do is develop those things and say, well, I just want to get better at them. And yet we'd have people all around me that was their gift and they did it really well. But they were a threat to me. And so when I began to discover what my gift is and just do that, you know, one of the things that kind of gives you an idea. Do you remember when Moses was in the wilderness and God was going to call him? Do you remember Moses said, look, he basically tried to disqualify himself. Look, I can't speak. I can't do this. And do you remember what God asked Moses? What's in your hand? What's in your hand? In other words, that thing that Moses had been carrying around with him for 40 years in the wilderness, that was what he was familiar with. And wherever you put him, that's what he was going to have and that's where he was going to be. And he was so familiar with it that he didn't even realize it was a gift.
He didn't realize, because it was just, this is just what I do. But yeah, Moses, you understand, not everybody does that, and that's what God's going to use. And so as we mature, then we begin to recognize, we have to begin to realize what's in our hand. What is it that you just do instinctively? Organization is not my strength. And I realized that. And honestly, I used to do, like when we would do youth events, I was great about gathering students. We could get students there. We could have fun. We could do all sorts of stuff. It'd be a great event. And then when they'd leave, we'd get most of them back to their parents. And there would only be just a few things broken and stuff like that. And then I had this lady that worked on the church with us. And she was kind of in an administrative role. And she was incredibly organized. And so she would quickly tell me all the areas that I needed to do better in. And I don't like her. And so, because who likes people? You've worked really hard and it's like, hey, what do you think about this? And she's like, well, it stunk. So I would just really try to work at getting better. And every time she would show up, I would want to keep her at arm's length and keep her at a distance. And I remember finally the guy that I was working for, the minister that was the senior minister there, he came in one day, he said, you keep trying to get good in this area, and can I just break the news to you? You're never going to be good at it. Thank you for the encouragement. And so he said, but you're really good at this. He said, why don't you let her do the thing that you're not good at, and then she'll be fulfilling her purpose and serving in the body. You'll be fulfilling your purpose, and the whole body is going to be benefited. And I was like, that's why you're the lead guy. It just made sense. And so that started happening. Instead of me viewing her as an adversary, I started going to her and saying, hey, look, we have this big event that's coming up. And, we're going to, I remember skateboarding was huge at that time. It probably still is, but I'm not doing student ministry anymore. So I got somebody else that thinks about that stuff. So I said, what are the things I need to think about? And so she's like, well, it's a special event. So you'll need different insurance. We'll have to get a ride. She just began to go down this list of stuff. I'm like, brilliant. But what began to happen is instead of both of us viewing ourselves as adversarial and I wasn't trying to be somebody that I'm not, and she wasn't trying to be my self-appointed critic, we began to work with each other and it caused both of us to grow, and the thing that God had called us to do began to grow. And here's what happens so many times in church is that we either show up and we're not aware of, if God were to ask us that question, what's in your hand? We've never thought about it. What's in my hand is relationships. I like people. Wherever I go, relationships are going to be a big deal to me. What's in her hand is she was an organizer. You can put her any place and she's going to organize stuff. And as we began to do that together, then it caused us both to grow. It caused the ministry to grow. But so many times people walk in our doors, and first of all, we haven't taught them how to be skillful with the Word. We've got to teach them how to study the Word and teach them to lean in and listen, because God's Word will feed them spiritually and help them grow. But then second of all, we have to help them realize what God has gifted them with, what He's put in their hand. And I really believe this, that once we understand this, you could spend just a few minutes with somebody and every day just kind of watch them, and you would begin to see what they're instinctively good at. And then as you give them an opportunity to serve and let them make mistakes and to grow, then they grow from being a spiritual infant, but they begin to grow spiritually and begin to mature spiritually. It happens. Because when you start having to use your gift, then you run into issues that sometimes people may not appreciate you like you want to be appreciated. And so you have to remind yourself, I'm not doing it for them, I'm doing it for the Lord. And then also you don't always get to have your way because you're not in charge. Somebody else may be in charge. And so you get to be told no. And let me tell you something, there's not a word that measures our maturity better than the word no. Right? We like people that tell us yes. But no measures us. And so we grow spiritually as we lean in and listen. As we lean in and listen to God's Word, what He's talking about here, we begin to understand it. And as we begin to understand it, we begin to grow. We begin to understand who Jesus is and what He's supposed to be to us and what God has called us to be and how bad sin is, but how good God is in saving us and rescuing us whenever we put our trust in Him.
And then if we move out of the shallow end of the pool and we begin to serve, then our interaction with each other causes us to learn how to love people, even when it's not fun. Causes us to learn how to grow. And then just like Jesus learned things as a result of his obedience, you know, he suffered and his obedience taught him something. Well, that's what he's saying right here. He said, now there's so many things about this, telling you about the old covenant and the new covenant. I want you to see that in the new covenant, we don't offer up sacrifices every year. We have Jesus. And he's our high priest. And so as a result of that, we can put our confidence in him. But now I want you to go a step further. Instead of thinking about going to the temple all the time, offering up these sacrifices, I want you to begin to lean into the Word of God. And I want you to begin to serve and use your gifts. And as a result of that, you'll begin to grow. And he was really kind of chasing them and correcting them, because he said, you really should be here now. You really should have grown to this point. And you haven't. And I'm having to teach you again the things that you should already know and you should be teaching. At our church, one of the things I'll hear sometimes, and I love Bible studies like this. I'm glad you guys, this is such a cool thing that you guys do this. And you get all sorts of different teaching styles and different things like that. But so many times, like on our weekend services, one of the things I try to do, because we do have a kind of a big shallow end, is to try to share the scripture from a standpoint of life application, that when you walk out the doors, how does God's word apply to your life? How does it fit to your life? And so sometimes I'll have people that have walked with the Lord for a while, and they're like, well, you know, it's just not deep enough. So I'm going to, you know, I don't know if I'm getting fed or whatever. And I don't want to minimize the value of that. But yet on the other hand, there's a part of me that wants to say, you know, there becomes a point where it's no longer about you. You know, that if you really are at that place where the things that are being shared that you feel like, okay, I've got that, I get this and that type of thing, great, good. Now you're at a place where you can continue to be fed the Word of God, but now you start making deposits in the hearts of other people. And it seems like just about the time that God gets us to that place, that we stop in that moment and we begin to kind of turn our eyes back towards ourselves and say, well, I'm not getting anything out of it. It's not doing anything for me. As opposed to saying, you know what? I'm at a place now where I still need this body, but guess what? They need me. And that's the place that God wants to get us. It grows us. It forces us to deal with people on a regular basis. It forces us to look at the gifts in our life. It forces us to do all of those things. And then through training, it says that we'll begin to have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. What are your gifts? What is it that you bring here to use? And when you do, it makes the body healthier and it makes you healthier. And as I said, we understand this physically, that if you walked in and you saw somebody that was, you know, 20 years old, but they had the expectations of a 4-year-old, if everything else was okay, they were just being that way, we would put expectations on them and have those kind of conversations. Well, in the church, we need to get to that place too, where we begin to let God deal with us and speak to us and begin to challenge us. I've discovered this about the Lord, and I'm sure you have too, that he's not nearly as concerned about my comfort as I am. Have you found that out? I mean, like, I even know, I love my wife, and she puts up with a lot. Not as much as Rhonda does, but she puts up with a lot. And there are times, man, though, where I'll get frustrated with her. Is it okay if I say that in church, that my wife frustrates me sometimes? Okay. I'm going to write that down if you don't mind. Does heifer have 2 F's or 1 F in? So, when we first got married, man, she would frustrate me. And I don't want to imply that she still doesn't frustrate me. But when we first got married, man, she would frustrate me. And I would begin to pray and talk to the Lord about her. And I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice, but I think all of us have God thoughts. You know, in other words, he gives us, there's a thought that it's kind of like, I believe this is the Lord. And I don't know if you've had this experience, that every time I try to talk to him about her, you know what he wants to talk about? Me. I mean, I almost got to the point where I'd go to him, I'd say, you know, Lord, I really want to talk to you about my wife, but I know where this is going to go. And again, it was because he wants me to lean in because he wants to grow me. And he wants to challenge me. And one of the ways that he does that is that he refuses to let me pull away from people. And buying the lie that I'm just safer if I isolate or separate myself. And so, when you look at this, he's sharing all these truths with him, but he's like, I'm going to have to stop right here because you guys, you haven't grown enough yet. I mean, you should have. You should be further along than this. But you're not leaning in and listening, and you should be serving, you should be doing, but you're still just kind of allowing everybody to do for you. And you're never going to grow when that's where you're at. And that's not a fun place to be a lot of times. And so God positions us with people around us that love us, but that are different than us. They have different gifts. And it's okay with Him if it rubs against us. That's how He shapes out the sharp edges in us. And it's okay with Him if we don't always get our way, because that's what grows us. And that's what teaches us to be enduring and persevering. And as we do that, then He continues to grow us. And our relationship with God takes on a different place, because we're no longer talking to Him about all the things that we want from Him. But we begin to go to our high priest and we begin to ask Him, what do you want me to do? What have you called me to do? How do you want to use me? And then even in the people that challenge us, God, I'm having a real hard time with this person. How do I handle that? What do you want me to do? And as we make ourselves available to this high priest that's forever, that's dealt with our sin, so we can come to Him in His presence and begin to lean into His Word and begin to be available to use the gifts that He's given us without our own agenda. And we move out of the shallow end, we begin to move into the deep end. And then at that point, it's amazing the things that God reveals to us, but it's also amazing how He uses us to reach people that He loves. And so, He wants us to grow. He wants us to serve and use our gifts so that will grow and develop us. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes for just a minute.